Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Blessed be the fruit.
Under his eye. we are recording on Mother's Day. So, of course, we have Andy here, the grandest of motherfuckers that I know. So that was the closest to a female host as we could get.
Yes. This is the last Mother's Day. Starting next year, it will be mandatory Mother's Day. Because the option is now off the table. You're all broodmares. Congratulations.
Yay. Abortion laws are going well. Good Christ.
Yeah, but this is what we told you was going to happen as soon as they got their fifth goblin on the Supreme Court, because Kennedy, right-wing as he was still like, yeah, maybe he would just leave Roe versus Wade alone, and I don't know, I guess gays can get married. So he's the swing. But yes, now they got rid of him, and it was exactly what everyone predicted. Every Republican state was going to write draconian abortion laws, and for the purpose of getting challenged and appealed and taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the best thing that you can hope for is that all the red states will ban it and the blue states won't.
Yeah.
That's the best you can hope for. The worst you can hope for is that it is banned completely across the entire United States, which would be a nightmare scenario.
I don't think they could do that. I think they could get rid of Roe, which would, like half the states already have trigger laws that if Roe goes away, then their own law would be enacted. And in one direction or the other, like every red state is like, abortion is legal all the time and we can throw women in jail. And then all of the reasonable states are like, yeah, we don't care what the federal government says. Abortion is safe and legal in this state. So I don't know, man. If I'm a woman living in, like, I don't know, Mississippi, I just move.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to get any better.
No, it's not. I had a conversation with someone recently, and they were like, you know, there are plenty of issues in the North and plenty of issues in the South, but they're pretty much like equally distributed, like as bad. And I was like, no, they're not. They're not. I'm sorry. They're not. They're not.
No, they aren't. And you don't have this stuff in blue states. You don't have this stuff in swing states, really.
No, they can't afford it.
Yeah. The only one that's even, it's kind of nuts that they're doing what they're doing in Ohio, because that is traditionally a swingier state, although it's definitely trending pretty far to the right. But
I feel like it's only a swing state when election times come, not so much during any other time of the year. But
no, the Republican Party has been very successful over there, even though that has the potential to go back the other way. They are now working very hard to make sure that it can't ever again.
Right.
But yeah, like Ohio's is one of the nuttier ones. Like they're trying to make birth control illegal flat across the board.
Like, that might be the most insane thing. Like, even for dudes, what are you doing? Are you serious? Like, you can't buy condoms?
Well, I'm sure you can. I'm sure that'll be fine. But yeah, they would get rid of like the pill and pretty much anything that a woman would do to prevent herself from getting pregnant. Because you see, it's not her decision. This is all on the man. And if a man decides he wants to make you pregnant, then you just have to be, because Republicanism.
Again, you had made a point online. Like, why as a woman would you vote for this party? Why?
Dude, I don't get it.
Because small business? That isn't even true.
No. And yeah, Alabama would potentially.
I guess it's just racism. Like, that's got to be the one, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And my dad was a Republican, or my mom was a Republican.
Yeah. What is it, like 1 in 4 women have miscarried, something like that? And they would make that illegal.
Yeah, the Georgia law is.
Oh, yeah, Georgia. It's a Georgia one. If you miscarry and they decide.
After 6 weeks.
Right. If they decide that you're at fault and, you know, I don't know who decides, but I'm guessing
a man.
All of the all of our lovely white male judges, one of them will, well, you that was your fault because you weren't taking enough vitamins, I've decided.
So or you sat down too fast. Wait, what?
Right. Yeah. So we're criminalizing miscarriages now, which is awesome.
Humanity. Humanity is what we're criminalizing.
Yes. So everybody, every one of you, when everybody was freaking out and saying, oh, you're exaggerating. Roe is established law. They're never going to do anything. You're blowing this all out of proportion. Well, we can go ahead and accept those apologies now because you were wrong.
Yeah, you were super wrong. Well, and also those people who didn't find the Supreme Court enough of a convincing argument to vote. Yeah,
I think this is the last time because we've been, you know, people who realize how important the Supreme Court have been screaming about it forever
for 30 years.
It's not a motivating factor amongst the majority of Democrats for whatever reason. That does not galvanize people like it does in the Republican Party. They understand they'll vote for anybody with an R next to their name in order to get the judges that they want to do this, essentially, to overturn abortion and make sure that there's never any gun control laws and you know, keep as much power in the hands of white male Christians for as long as possible. Like, that's the game.
Well, thank God for
and, that. Yeah, and everybody's in on it over there. And we just can't get anybody on our side to realize that the Supreme Court is, you know, kind of fucking important.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, dude, that should be the number one reason that you should go out and vote. But
yeah, it was one of the saddest yet, you know, darkly humorous tweets I saw after Kavanaugh got put on. That it was Matt Iglesias from Fox who put out, well, that we're going to have a big argument now amongst the Democratic Party about whether we want a robust socialist agenda that's going to get thrown out by the Supreme Court or a more moderate center-left agenda that will be thrown out by the Supreme Court.
I mean, it's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. No, but she had, all right, like, no point of relitigating it, but it's just you're being dumb. Like, you're just being dumb. You're being dumb, you're being selfish. You really, really are just being selfish, but whatever. All right, let's get to the big boy topics this week. Not that that's not one, it's just there is a heaping amount of fucking bullshit to talk about.
But that's an ongoing story. We're going to follow up on that one. But that is what we predicted. A bunch of states wrote insane laws that are at this point unconstitutional. So 100%. Yeah. So
and that's the bank. They're banking on that.
Yeah. They'll get shot down. They'll send it to the appeals court, which is now loaded with goblins. I don't even know that it's guaranteed that they'd lose. But then whoever loses that one will appeal it up to the Supreme Court, and they will decide whether or not we're going to keep Roe versus Wade. So that's
cool. And we won't. And we will get rid of it.
You think so? Or do you think they'll just cripple it a bit?
I think the chances of them getting rid of Roe v. Wade are very high.
I think there's four votes. There are four votes there to completely overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
Guaranteed. I think it comes down to John Roberts.
Yeah. That's it.
And whether or not he wants his legacy to be the guy who made it really difficult to get an abortion or the guy who made it impossible to get an abortion. But if he went along with it, it would fly in the face of every bit of bullshit he ever put out there about following precedent and, well, we're not trying to litigate from the bench. We're just here to call balls and strikes. So if they just go and flatly overturn Roe completely, then that would be, and again, I'm counting on a Republican to not want to look hypocritical, but I think John Roberts actually does care about not wanting the Supreme Court to completely just look like a political partisan operation.
I think John Roberts is more concerned about his legacy. We've said this before. More concerned about his legacy personally than he's concerned about anything. So you might be right.
I think he cares about his own legacy, but also I think he actually cares about the institution of the Supreme Court. And I think that's probably true. Yeah, if all it's doing is just rubber stamping the Republican agenda, then it's not viewed as, you know, the fair arbiter anymore.
Yeah.
Which I would argue that's already come and went. Like we're
Scalia did that. Scalia single-handedly did that.
Right. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, but I think he's aware of, you know, of if it just becomes nakedly partisan like that, then so I sort of have doubts that Roe would be overturned entirely, but I think they'll allow a bunch of bullshit to stand, up to maybe even a fucking heartbeat bill. They might even go that far.
Now, keep in mind, I'm just looking at a New York Times article from February of this year. Roberts did join with the liberal wing in a 5-4 decision about the Louisiana abortions bill, which he struck down. Now, he did not give his reasoning for that. So that it blocked the Louisiana law that could have severely restricted abortion in the state. Although he offered no reason for his vote, there is little doubt that he wanted to avoid sending the message that the court was ready to discard a 2016 decision, a precedent in which it struck down a similar Texas law. So who knows? I mean, he might be sort of gearing up for a situation of like, send me the one that I can just sort of cut it down enough. I can cut down Roe v. Wade enough. But I don't know. I mean, Roberts also was instrumental in sort of stopping the Supreme Court from fully blowing up the constitutionality of the ACA. And people were shocked by that, but I really wasn't, because I'm like, do you want to be responsible for upending all legal precedent, like for Social Security and all these other things that would immediately be challenged and destroyed? Like,
yeah,
like that. Like, that's the problem.
I think he cares about precedent.
And he should, by the way. I mean, I think he's a scumbag, but he should care about that.
Yeah. Those four other goons do not give a fuck. They are there to do they're there to do the Republican agenda come hell or high water.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to John fucking Roberts.
Is John Roberts liberal enough? I don't know. actually, the question is John Roberts truly conservative enough to not, like, to try to conserve, right? Because conservatism isn't always bad, to conserve, like, the impartiality of the court. The question that remains to be seen, I don't know. I mean, one could certainly make the argument that he probably would be. But at the same time, goblin's gonna gobble. So, like, I mean, they, you know, he may go easy early in the year so he can strike a death blow on something later on. More on that later, by the way, because there is a situation that's brewing. I don't know if you've seen it. I purposely didn't talk to you about it during the week, but I've seen it brewing online, and it has to do with legal precedent. We'll talk about it, but it falls very much in the same kind of argument. So we'll get to it when we talk about Trump's tax returns. There's some fascinating legalese that's going on. All right. Yeah, so,
and that may end up in the Supreme Court as well, which would also be interesting if they're going to overturn a 9-0 decision.
No one on the Supreme Court at the time was smart. We are the smart ones now. Like,
dude,
okay.
All right. Keep in mind, Nixon v. United States. Look that one up if you'd like. It's a 9-0 decision.
Never heard of it.
Three of the Supreme Court justices who were on the Supreme Court at that time had been nominated by Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Yeah, and they were like, nah.
And they're all, yeah, you got to give up those tapes, bro.
Dude, come on, man. Fuck are you doing? Like, thanks for the job and all, but like, nah, knock it off.
Yeah, but overturning a 9-0 decision would be a balls move.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna
do? No, they're all wrong, actually.
We're the ones who nailed it. Like,
Good. President should be an emperor with no checks on him at all.
He doesn't
this
even
will
need
never,
clothes.
This will never backfire.
Oh, my God. Dude, give it 4 to 8 years and they'd be screaming to get that law changed. Oh, really? I can't. Oh, okay. All right. President Bernie Sanders just throwing Republicans in jail. No checks. No balances. Calling little kids stupid.
It's fine. Emperor Warren has canceled all future elections. I guess this is just what's happening now. Thanks,
yeah. Oh.
Supreme Court.
Let me look into the future. President Warren cancels Christmas. My God. If an American says Christmas, they are immediately shot by one of Warren's exclusive personal military, the Oklahoma Bedouinites. It's weird. She's not fucking around.
Yeah. That's one thing I will give Roberts credit for, is he has the ability to see more than, you know, 10 feet down the road. And
that is what in politics, I think, at least on the Republican side, I can say absolutely for sure, is lacking, is an absolute inability to see 5 minutes down the road. Oh, this will work out. Like, this is not going to work for you. And then they go, who did this? Like, you did this.
You
giant idiots. We were screaming, telling you. I mean, remember when, before we get into the big story this week, remember when they got mad at the Republicans in the Senate got mad at Obama because he told them not to pass that law that basically allowed foreign governments to sue individual soldiers for like war crimes. And they were like, fuck you, Obama. We're going to do this. And then it passed. And then, like, I forget which country was like, we are immediately suing because of these war crimes. And they were like, Obama didn't convince us enough that we shouldn't have done that. Like, what? Like, it was insane. Like, Mitch McConnell literally went out on a straight face and said it was Obama's fault that he didn't warn them enough. He was like, I did. You didn't listen. That's because you didn't see 10 minutes down the road. I mean, it's crazy.
You're all your own entity. But that was like your, that was a pretty good indicator that they were just morons waiting for somebody to show up and tell them what to do. And then King
Moron. Or just
Moron
be anti whatever the president said.
Right. And then King Moron showed up and tells them what to do. And they're like, yes, boss. Sounds good, boss.
Yep. And that's all it took. And now it's like, oh, we weren't supposed to do that. Oh, yeah. If we could just get some real adults in the room, that'd be great. All right. Let's talk about the big story this week. The good folks over at the New York Times.
The failing New York Times.
I mean, one could also make the, if you were so Republican inclined, the Jew York Times. that's my favorite derisive term for the New York Times. Wow. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It is funny. Wow. Sorry. You know. Jews are liberal, so they must read this rag.
Sure.
They should put New York Times in parentheses.
I'm sure someone does.
I'm sure they have.
You can go to the comments section of like Breitbart, and I'm sure somebody has done that.
New York Times.
Parentheses, parentheses, parentheses. New York Times. Parentheses, parentheses, parentheses.
Well, here we go. But the New York Times newly obtained tax information reveals that from 1985 to 1994, Mr. Donald J. Trump, I don't know if you've heard of him, lost $1.17 billion. That is a lot of money for a guy who swears that he is the end-all be-all when it comes to business. He lost over $1 billion in one decade, which is pretty much unprecedented. Not only is it unprecedented, he lost more than anyone else. They're pretty sure.
Yes, he is the biggest loser. He lost more money than any other individual. There was one year, I think it was 90. I want to say.
Losses in 90 and 91 is what you're getting ready to refer to.
Yeah, he personally accounted for 1.7% of all losses in the United States of America.
Yeah, he lost.
He himself personally was 1.7% of all the losses.
Let's see. Here's the quote in the article. In fact, year after year, Mr. Trump appears to have lost more money than nearly any other individual American taxpayer. The Times found when it compared his results with detailed information from the IRS that the IRS compiles on an annual sampling of high income earners, his core business losses in 1990 and 91, more than $250 million each year, were more than double those of the nearest taxpayers in the IRS information for those years. More than double. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a great businessman. Are you out of your mind?
And this was so like late 80s was like the peak of Donald Trump, right? That's when he wrote Art of the Deal. That's when he like tried to open an airline. That's when he tried to, when he had a USFL football team. That's when he, opened all the casinos. Like that's peak Trump as far as the perception of him as a great businessman. And he was just hemorrhaging his father's money.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the best part. He is hemorrhaging his father's money, not his money.
No.
Not his money. Look, should I be shocked? I'm not. Like, I'm really, really not. I do enjoy the fact that he is a massive loser. Like, that feels pretty good to know. But what it also tells me is this very idea of him being some sort of like genius, playboy philanthropist, is not true. None of it is true. He's just a chucklehead. He's just a chuckle fuck who got his dad's money and just burned it up because he was never that bright. To lose $1 billion in a decade is one thing, but for him to come out after this story came out and said, one, it was fake news. What part's fake? like he goes, well, they just didn't understand how it worked. And I was doing all these, you know, depreciations and everything else. And this is how, you know, this is how I didn't pay taxes for 8 out of the 10 years, by the way, which he readily admits. And so he's like, well, I was just doing this for sport. Everybody was doing this. But here's the thing. You can't tell me how you did this and how you lost all this money and how it was for sport and how you didn't pay taxes for 8 to 10 years and then also called the story fake news. Now, well, it sounds like the story is very accurate news and you just told us exactly how that happened. What you mean to say is maybe people don't understand how you could lose that money, but you did lose that money, dude. That's not a made up story at all. But yeah, I guess it just reaffirms things that I guess the left already knew, which is y'all president is a failure. Like he just is.
Yes.
He's a loser.
Well, that's his entire brand is, well, he's a great businessman. And not only is he not a great businessman, he's arguably the worst businessman.
Right. It's one thing to just be not great at it. It's another thing to be the best at being not great at it. So, I mean, yeah. I guess he is in a league of his own. I mean, one could certainly make the argument that no one has been a bigger loser than him. So that's pretty good, I think. I mean, I don't know. I'd be pretty happy with that title, right? Like, yes, no one sucks as much as I do. Like, okay. Congratulations, I guess.
The best at it, huge losses. No one's lost more money than me.
Like what kind of loser? Just a loser.
The greatest at incurring $1 million losses.
Yeah. Like I am baffled by the fact that he's that bad at this, but at the end of the day, I can't even pretend to be shocked. I am the only part I'm shocked at is that he literally might be the biggest loser, which is, I mean, that is saying something. Like that you are really doing something. But other than that, I'm not shocked that he actually was a fucking loser and that none of the shit he said was true. I'm not shocked by that news at all. I don't even know why his supporters at this point even believe any of it. I find that to be fascinating.
Yeah. It's yeah. Well, you can talk to him about it and they go, oh, where'd it come from? New York Times. That kind of story in the Jew York Times. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. Like, you don't have to. It really doesn't matter if you believe it. This isn't fairies. This is reality.
Yeah. It's amazing that he stayed around as long as he has, with just like taking on a project, losing his shirt, but then because of that, he gets another loan for something else, completely ending up upside down in that, getting a loan for something else. And this is just what he's done and continued and continued and continued. But he never actually like made real profits.
Not seemingly.
It seems like all of the money he's actually made is like embezzlement.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I think so. I think it's largely embezzlement, which is fucking bonkers. Like, dude, what the shit is going on in New York? I mean, I don't understand how you guys believe this shit anymore. But, no, you know.
And yeah, the Trump brand, there's the New York Times thing. They don't have any information after 95, but that's when he just goes into licensing deals and starts bringing in shady money and becomes almost exclusively a money laundering operation.
Yeah, for the Russians. Hey, look, I got all this money now. Oh, and others. And others. True.
Yeah, sure. Panamanian drug lords and shit. Just any criminal who wanted to park their money somewhere. He was good for it.
I'll help you out. Count on your boy Donnie. Like, it's no big deal. But yeah, I am just thoroughly amazed that people still buy into the shit. I never bought into it after he refused to release his taxes. Like, I was like, nah, yeah, this dude is not a billionaire. Like, he's not. He is a terrible businessman. Yeah, but then clearly. Again, even before that, when he had like five bankruptcies, like, you can't declare bankruptcy five different times and then I'm supposed to believe you.
If there was anything good in the tax returns, he would have released them, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, I'm worth $11 billion. Like, yeah. Like, throw your tiny mushroom dick on the table and show him what's up. But he's not going to do that. Fuck no. Hell no. Look, if I was lying about how much money I was worth, and that was tied to my entire presidency, I'm not showing you shit. From my cold, dead hand, you will get that information. And that's pretty much what's going to end up happening. So, yeah, look, losing that kind of money is nuts. Like, it just goes to show you, like, how many people could have been helped by his absolute incompetency. Like, but, you know, should we really be shocked? Should we? I'm not. I really am not. But $1.17 billion. Now, keep in mind, his dad gave him a loan for like $400 million. So, yeah, he's doing great. he's really racking it up. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about your boy. Young Jacob. Young Jacob Wall.
Ah, yes. My favorite.
Yeah, go for it.
Our old pal Jacob Wall. He got himself into the news again. His story started last week. If you remember Jacob Wall, he was just known as a general Twitter scamp. And also the youngest person ever to be banned from stock trading, was it?
Yes.
Or what was it? What was he doing?
He was running like a fake hedge fund, basically.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And then, yeah, making up bullshit on Twitter. And he decided to take his game off Twitter. And he went after Robert Mueller, tried to get a sexual assault allegation to stick to him. That didn't work out real well. He tried to get something to stick to Michael Avenatti, which, I mean, dude, all you had to do was wait a little bit.
You didn't have to do shit.
Then he came back and he tried to gin up a fake sexual assault allegation against Pete Buttigieg, of all people.
The polygot from South Bend.
Yeah. He had, they got somebody that they were trying to bring in who was, you know, some sort of a young Republican who they decided they were going to have make this fake allegation. And apparently the kid did not agree to do this. And then the next day he wakes up and finds out that Jacob Wohl and Jack Berkman is his partner on these things, right? Went ahead and used his picture and posted a story to Medium as him, like without his permission.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even just like sexual assault. He said that Mayor Pete raped him, which is a pretty serious fucking charge. Now, I'm trying to figure out at what point does somebody go after Jacob Wohl for a libel, because he wrote this down. He created a published false statement.
I think Buttigieg should do it.
Right, because 100%. I think the idea here is that nobody goes after Jacob Wohl because he's small potatoes. And like, you don't want the idea of going after someone to give it more oxygen. But at a certain point, bullies only fall when you punch back. And what you have to do is you have to be willing to be like, oh, you want to play with me? Look, I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't think Pete Buttigieg is tough enough. I'm sure they don't, right? Just gay stereotypes, whatever, da-da-da-da-da, all that shit. Yeah, you want to show that you're tough? Nail this little fucker to the wall. That's what I would do. I'd be like, yo, I'm not playing with you. You don't say some fucking discouraging shit. You don't write it down. Because, by the way, not only are you going up against this guy, you got the guy who is admitting that he was going to smear you, decided not to because you didn't want to be a piece of shit. You got that guy on your side because he contacted the Buttigieg campaign. Like, look, man, I am sorry this is happening. Like, I don't have anything to do with this. This is not me. He immediately come on over to this side and we are going to destroy Jacob Wohl together.
He immediately put out a Facebook post just saying, hey, look, they're using my name and picture. I did not agree to this. None of this happened. This is completely fake. They tricked me into going along with this. They wrote that. You know, Jacob Wohl wrote that whole Medium article. That was not me. Like, he fesses up immediately because I do not want to be attached to this fucking thing when it blows up.
Yeah. No, it's a smart move.
Yeah. And good for him. Like, he was, you know, a conservative kid who obviously was, you know, was interested enough to come, oh, we're going to fuck with some Democrats. But then when he heard the plan, went, nah, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, it really doesn't. Oops.
So credit to him to blowing it up immediately. But the point of these and what happened, right, what ended up happening exactly is they put the Medium article up and then all of these really, you know, low credibility right-wing publications like Gateway Pundit and shit just pick up and go, oh, Pete Buttigieg, rapist, you know. And so they put that narrative out for half a day before the real story comes out. And, you know, as the old saying goes, a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on.
Right.
And that's what happened here. And so now there are enough people who read that garbage who in their head are thinking, oh, Pete Buttigieg rapes people, right?
Jesus fucking Christ. That's right, guys.
So I think you...
Everyone in politics is a rapist. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, it all comes from, you know, there's some very, you know, real scandals amongst Republicans as far as, you know, rape and molestation and sexual assault and things like that. And just their belief is, oh, these are all fake. so we can make up some too. But yep. they have yet to actually come up with one that's stuck, really.
Well, and it's
like, other than just sort of like putting, just muddying the waters a little bit briefly before right. the truth actually comes out. But
like, and it's, but it's, but just so stupid.
It's like they were really mad about Christine Blasey Ford, right? How somehow they think that the Democratic Party found somebody who went to school with Brett Kavanaugh and like was attending parties at the time to make up a fake sexual assault allegation.
Yes.
Like the amount of work that you'd have to do to pull this off is insane.
Well, the Democrats are very devious, as we all know.
Sure. But
and this is why we have to pass those abortion laws, right? Right, guys? That's
yeah,
the reason.
Of course. Yeah. Like, it's so stupid. And so now Jacob Wohl is just daring people to send him to prison.
Dude.
And I think Buttigieg is the guy who needs to do it.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, man. Like,
because it would that look good. Story got out. Yeah, well, that story got out there just enough, right, so that a couple people bought into it. So you have to react strong. And if that way, if somebody goes, hey, I heard this thing about Pete Buttigieg, and like, yeah, that was a fake story by this kid who's now in prison.
Yep.
For making up that fake story.
Right, because that has a lot more weight if you can be like, this guy is in prison for that. Because then it doesn't feel like a, oh, you're just saying it's fake. Like, no, dude, I'm not just saying anything is fake. This dude went to jail for lying. And that carries more weight. You're right. So, I like, again, you committed straight up libel, dude. Like, it's not even an argument. You did. I'm just, so, the other part of this, like, if we're going to fix the political system, we're going to fix these things going forward. One thing that needs to happen is we need to destroy, and by all means, on the left, if there is someone equivalent on the left as well, you need to destroy smear merchants, right? By the way, that's my favorite political term that people use, like, as if it's reasonable, calling people smear merchants. It sounds like a really lame Dungeons and Dragons power. But I'm going to be a smear merchant. Like, all right, okay, relax. You're going to be a virgin is what you're going to be. But like this idea of allowing people like Roger Stone to thrive for 30 years, 40 years, to me is nuts. Like, no, these people need to go.
Yeah, no, this is what Roger Stone did for his entire career. He was a teenage rat fucker like Jacob Wohl, who did not get into any legal trouble until right now.
Yeah, and that's until you remove people like that, you will continue to have shit like that. You have to go after them, and you have to go after them hard, really early. Fuck them. Like, it is what it is. So, yeah, so I'm all for fucking Jacob Wohl all the way up.
Yeah. And this week, he tried to organize his own protest against him.
What a fucking loser. Just what a fucking loser, dude.
Yeah. His partner, Jack Berkman, was the only one, was tweeting a link to an Eventbrite page called Protest Against Homophobic Bigots. He said they're organizing a protest against Jacob Wohl, and that had not existed before he tweeted it out. And then, just like with the surefire intelligence thing, they look into this Eventbrite and
it's
okay,
run by
who
his
started
mom?
This? No, it's Jacob Wohl's fucking email.
Jesus like, Christ.
He's so bad at this.
Yeah, you're not even good at it, dude.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, fucking credit to Roger Stone. At least he was, like, not this much of a bumbling moron.
Yeah, I mean, look, Roger Stone's an asshole, but he's not dumb.
Yeah, dude, to be able to just do complete, you know, dirty tricks and chicanery and borderline illegal shit on behalf of your political party for 50 years and not get into any actual legal trouble until you're 75 or whatever.
Yeah, fucking not shooting him. Nothing but net for 40 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob Wool's what, 20?
Yeah, he's already been banned by the FTC. Like, this guy sucks.
Yeah. And if Buttigieg decides to nut up on this, like, he could go to federal prison, like, right now.
Yeah. Good. And he stop being nice to these people, man.
Yeah.
Go 100%. Hard. Yeah, go hard.
Yeah, he's fucking pathetic.
You are the worst dirty trickster. By the way, I just want to talk about something that I think is like more to like a core point of all of this. If you believe that your party and your ideology is correct, why do you have to lie? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can understand the idea of like, okay, when it comes to like political trickery, right? Political, you know, scoring points politically against the other side. I understand doing things like, okay, one side said X, let's blow that out of proportion. We already know it doesn't really mean that, but we're gonna amp it up to just kind of hit them on it, right? Like, I understand that. Like, I don't agree with it necessarily, but I don't like to feign like I'm an idiot. Like, that is not a thing I do. But I understand in politics, you'd be like, oh, my God, lipsticks on a pig? That's so ridiculous, Obama. Were you referring to me? Like, I wasn't referring to you. Relax, Sarah Palin. Right? Like, I understand that sort of political trickery. But,
you know, but there's a different, like, the more traditional thing is, like, opposition research, right?
Right. You're exploiting things that are bad.
Yeah, go to find real shit, and then you blow up some real thing and say, here's some real thing that really happened.
Yeah. I got no problem with that.
What it's devolved into is, like,
just
like
lying.
The James O'Keefe shit where it's like, well, we're going to record some people and then we're going to edit it to make it look worse than it really is. And so you're being deceptive there. To now we've got Jacob Wool just making up bullshit whole cloth.
Yep. Yeah. Just straight up lying. So I'm just, I'm always concerned about that idea.
Make an example of him.
Yeah.
Send him to prison for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. Good 8 years. Yeah. Did you figure it out? Good. Now never do this again. Oh, you did it again? Cool. We're going to fuck your life up again. Like, always be afraid that the Democrats or the liberals or whoever you're terrified of are going to come and fuck you up. That's what you should be afraid of. And I'm not saying they should fuck him up just because he's a Republican. I think they should fuck him up because he's a liar. Yeah, he's just, dude, you're just lying. You're not telling the truth about any of this shit. And you know it's a lie. You know damn well that kid didn't get raped. Like, you know that, but you'll sit there and you'll push that as a political agenda because you think it's good for your party. So no, I don't respect that at all. So fuck you.
No. Like, I mean, I got no problem with people exploiting real things that actually happened. Like, you'll see plenty of that if we nominate Joe Biden. Like, you just take actual video clips of things he said to take him down.
Yeah. And guess what? Guess what? They're going to. Uh-huh. More on that later.
But yeah, I mean, that's just traditional politics. I can't be like, oh, I can't believe you took that recording of the guy who's running for president and the thing he actually said. Like, there's nothing underhanded about doing that. That's fine. But just making up complete bullshit.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. Man. So Buttigieg should take him down. I'm a little bit tired of the reputation that Democrats have of, well, we'll give you a stern finger wave, but we were not actually going to do anything about it.
Like, nah, fuck that.
I need press federal fucking charges.
Yeah, no, I would. Dude, especially, like, these are all, you know, all of these bullshit moves that Jacob Wool has done have been one thing. For him to then do it on Medium, that's libel, dude. Like, they don't have to speculate anything. This shit is in writing. You did it. Guess what's happening right now? Fuck that guy's whole life up. Good. Oh, poor Jacob. Yeah, poor Jacob. Here's your new roommate, Bubba. You're going to hang out for a couple of years.
This is an attack on conservative values.
The conservative value of lying. Just lying openly. So,
you know, that would be a Tucker Carlson segment.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, oh, look at Pete Buttigieg beating up on young Jacob Wall, the young, you know, Jacob Wall who's never done anything wrong. Oh, what about all these other scams he did? young Jacob Wall, right? Like, I mean, dude, they would immediately go to them. Good. Yeah, I'd be, Tucker and Carl, I would go right Tucker on Tucker Carlson's show. I'd be like, that guy is not an innocent kid. He's a fucking liar.
Dude, Tucker was caping for straight up white supremacists this week.
I'm sure he was.
Like, oh, there's an attack on conservative values. They're kicking off all these Nazis off of Facebook. It's like, just good, you know, patriotic Americans. It's like, no.
No, these are the move. These are fucking Nazis, dude.
Yeah, that is not the move. You want to go, oh, good, we got rid of those Nazis.
Yeah. Didn't your dad fight them in WW2 or whatever? Yeah, I just...
Doesn't matter.
It's just fucking dumb. So what's hilarious is, this is a perfect segue into the next topic. Jacob Wall is the, you know, young master of conservative fuckery. And by master, I mean not good at it at all. But when you grow up, you can go from making up bullshit and be a young liar to then being an old liar with terrible veneers only in the top half of your mouth and become Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani plans a Ukraine trip to push for inquiries to help Trump. Now, what's hilarious about this is an actual quote from Rudy Giuliani. We're not meddling in an election. We're meddling in an investigation, which we have the right to do. This is what happens when you don't throw people like Jacob Wall in jail in their 20s. They grow up to be Rudy Giuliani. So the idea here, now, since then, he's canceled this trip to the Ukraine, but make no doubt that he's probably sent someone in his stead, okay? So Rudy Giuliani, who we all know is Trump's personal lawyer and full-time crazy person on television.
there's a job opening because the last personal attorney to Donald Trump got thrown under the bus and is now rotting in prison. So Rudy Giuliani rushed in to take that job because it seems like a sweet gig.
Yeah. I can't wait to go to jail. I can't wait. So Giuliani...
Why would anybody work for him?
it takes a level of stupidity that I am just incapable of.
Would you like to destroy your reputation and or go to prison? Come work for Donald Trump.
Would I? Giuliani said to that he has plans to travel to Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, in the coming days and wants to meet with the nation's president-elect to urge him to pursue inquiries that allies of the White House contend could yield new information about two matters of intense interest to Mr. Trump. Two things. He wants to find out the origins of the special counsel's investigation into the Russia interference in the 2016 election. Spoiler alert, we can tell you exactly what it was because we've gone over this 4,000 times. The other, and lo and behold, is the involvement of former Vice President Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s son in a gas company owned by a Ukrainian oligarch. This is the real reason. Okay, that first one is not the real reason. Like, they already know what started the special counsel investigation. It was their boy Papadopoulos getting straight drizzy in fucking London and running his goddamn mouth.
Did you know the Russians have information to help Trump? I'll have another gin and tonic.
That's what started the fucking special counsel investigation. This is not hard.
Running his mouth to Australian intelligence.
Yeah.
It Crikey, turns out- I better call the FBI. Good it day. Sounds terrible. I know. It sounds terrible.
I'd like to think that the guy he was talking to, just even though I know it's New Zealand, but it's all the same to me. It just sounds like Korg from Guardians of the Galaxy or from the Thor movies.
Hey there. Hey, guys.
This has everything to do with opposition research to hit Biden. That's all this is. But Giuliani is actually going over to Kiev to basically talk to their incoming president who takes office in June. Who, by the way, was a comedian who ran for president and won. So, like, Jon Stewart won, became president of Ukraine.
Kind of. He's an actor who, I guess, on, like, the top-rated comedy over there.
Yeah, he played the president.
Yeah, he's a regular guy who ran for president and won. And then he decided to run for president on like a really vague anti-corruption platform. It's just like, hey, you guys all watch my TV show, and by the way, corruption is bad. And they're like, yeah,
won.
You're right, it is. And he won with like 74% of the voters.
Yeah, it was a landslide.
Yeah, because the guy who was running, the guy he's running against was like clearly like a another like in the pocket of Russia, in the pocket of the oligarchs, in the pocket, you know.
Oh, yeah, Petro Poroshenko. Yeah. Poroshenko is very much corrupt.
Yeah, and the people just got sick of it and said, yeah, let's put this fucking guy in.
Let's put Volodymyr Zelensky, a comedian and political newcomer. Yeah, I would say so. It would be hilarious if, like, who's played the president? Like, Martin Sheen just became president. Like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that works. Or, like, the guy who played Bush and That's My Bush, like, that guy becomes president. Super weird. So Zelensky.
I would go with
Gina Davis.
Who played David Palmer?
That guy. Fuck you, Joe Boo. I'll do it myself.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah, Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah. Let's get Dennis Haysbert in there.
That's fine. I like that. I don't need a 24 situation, but yeah, he could be president. That's cool.
Yeah, he could deliver the fuck out of a speech.
Yeah, he can. He can. I mean, people are definitely going to try to murder you in the first season, but yeah, you can do a pretty good speech. So, Volodymyr Zelensky, the man who shall not be named, takes office June 3rd, and So Giuliani is planning on going there and being like, look, we need you to continue this investigation into Biden's kid, which is not really a thing, right? Like Biden's kid is not Hunter Biden is not really doing anything wrong here. But he's also trying to warn the Ukrainian president about like the people working around him, which it sounds like they're trying to make Zelensky as paranoid about his incoming government as Trump is about his, which is kind of interesting. But I don't see that there's any indication that Zelensky is going to fucking take heed to this. It doesn't mean that Giuliani isn't going to try to convince other people in his cabinet to buy into this bullshit. Also, Giuliani was said to be there because he's been planning for the last several weeks to travel to Kiev to deliver, quote, a paid speech to a Jewish group about Middle East policy. Who the fuck is listening to Rudy Giuliani about Middle East policy? Like, that's weird. Like, that's a weird situation to me. But we'll see.
Yeah. No, he's in proximity to Trump, so he's going to cash in. That's what they're all doing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he says
Giuliani that doesn't technically work for the government.
No, he doesn't work for the government. Not technically, like at all. He doesn't.
He's hired he works for Trump.
Yeah, directly.
And so he's allowed to go around and be a corrupt goober.
Yeah.
Not that it stops actual government employees right now, but no. He can do this more openly.
But I mean, his quote that I read before, like we're not messing with what was the exact quote? We're not meddling in an election. We're meddling in an investigation, which we have the right to do. Like, as insane as that quote is, he's right. But it's also like he made that quote in reference to someone going, yo, y'all just finished a year-long investigation about you dealing with foreign powers in this weird way. And his response is, well, we're not meddling in an election. We're meddling in an investigation. Yeah, but you're doing it. This is more collusion. It is open-faced collusion. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, and they're going to try to drum up something to get it to stick to Biden because they're afraid of Biden.
Yeah, they are. I don't think this is what takes Biden down, by the way. I really don't. I think Biden's going to be taken down by his own party. They're going to kick the shit out of him.
You know who I think is going to take down Biden is Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's correct.
He's the master of self-immolation.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But he is our front runner, so
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, more on that
there
later.
There was a reporting last week that that Trump was trying to get Barr to investigate the Hunter Biden thing, which, again, there's nothing there. But if they can drum something up to do, you know, lock her up too, lock him up, you know, they're
yeah.
They're going to try to come up with something.
Yeah.
So they don't even need it to be a real thing.
No.
As long as you can make it sort of look shady enough that you can, you know, bang on it for a while.
I mean, it is kind of a funny thing. Like, you make the argument for, like, the last 18 months, you know, dealing with Russians, there's nothing wrong with that. And then it's like Joe Biden's son works with a gas company in Ukraine. Well, I mean, that's clearly corrupt. But I thought working, oh, okay, it's different for them. Got it.
Oh, is it bad if a presidential candidate's son is going around in former Soviet nations collecting money and sort of, you know, not entirely on the up and up ways? Because, you know, I can name a couple of Trump kids. No, it's fine when they do it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, my only issue with that statement is those people are not kids. Those are Trump's children, but they are not kids.
Right. Yeah, and you know, from what I understand, I could be, you know, there could be a giant scandal that we don't know about, but apparently what Hunter Biden was doing was just working for a Ukrainian gas company completely on the up and up.
Yeah, getting money.
It's not like, I don't know, going to Kazakhstan and laundering money from the mob or something like the Trump children did.
Yeah,
but that's fine, I guess, because fuck it.
Yeah, no, look, they're innocent. They're just kids, man. They're just like little babies. I just sent my little toddler over there, and he's just so confused. Like, your toddler's 47 years old, dude. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm too little to understand the law.
It's okay. It's okay, little Donnie. Let me fuck out of here. Beat those kids' asses. How about that? Yeah, so look forward to more, no pun intended, but look forward to more Joe Biden's son is the one who's doing the colluding. Because that's coming, right? That tweet,
right.
That fire tweet is just like, they're just waiting for a little bit of bullshit evidence, in quotes, to fire off that tweet that the real colluders are Joe Biden and his son. He's probably paying Joe Biden. How did Joe Biden afford that house in Delaware anyway? How can he afford Amtrak tickets? Probably through Ukrainian gas companies. Yeah. Look, all I'll just say is this. Go ahead, keep concentrating on Joe Biden all you want.
Yep.
Go ahead. Like, because, spoiler alert, his own party is going to fucking wreck his ass. Dude, it's not going to be you. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Like, you really are. If I'm running as a Republican at this point, if I'm Trump, one, I'd just throw myself in front of a train. But if I was Trump, I would just let Biden destroy himself because he's going to.
Sure.
And I'd let his party destroy him because they're going to. But again, more on that later. But I don't know why you're like concocting this whole thing. Like, well, let's go to Kiev and da da da. Nah, yo, I just sit back, because the Democrats were smarter in 2016 as far as like attacking people. Like, if you note, if you go back. Like, the candidates didn't really attack each other, like attack the Republicans from the Democratic side until they had a nominee, right? Because it was too many people and it was going to change hands too many times. Like, if you concentrate on one person, you've completely taken your eye off the ball of the other people. So it's actually not a good strategy for Trump to be so all in on, like, he's now giving Pete Buttigieg a name, a nickname, which, by the way, was pretty good. Alfred E. Newman is pretty good. That's not bad. I don't know that a lot of people are going to get that.
Buttigieg didn't.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta Google it.
I had to look that up. I'm under 40.
I'm not old. But I mean, that's a pretty good one. If you don't know who that is, it's the character from Mad Magazine. And so like he's shooting like full barbs at anybody who he perceives as being the person. And okay, keep going, dude. It's super early, man. You have no idea what's going to happen. And I think anybody who thinks they do know what's going to happen, you're probably wrong.
Well, when he attacks people, it bolsters them too. So I don't know, like, strategically, why wouldn't you just attack somebody with no chance of winning?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Pete Buttigieg. Okay. Thanks.
No. In a straight up one, I think Buttigieg is actually somebody you'd have to worry about.
No. Look, I think all of them in a straight up fight, he has something to worry about. I'm talking about giving Buttigieg more power, like right off the jump in the primary. Like, if he's already got like a good crowd following, people seem to like him, why would you say anything about him? Let him blow up and fizzle out on his own. Like, the worst thing Trump could do right now is be like, and let me tell you something about Beto O'Rourke. Like, Beto O'Rourke be like, thanks. No one's talking about me. Thank you. Beto O'Dork doing parkour in a Starbucks. Like, relax. Dude, that was one of the funniest SNL bits. It's absolutely
so
good.
Yeah. Her Elizabeth Warren is great, too.
Yeah, it is pretty good. We're going to have a fight.
Pete Buttigieg does a speech in fluent Klingon.
I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but speak English, goddammit. That shit was funny. Yeah, she's super nailing up. She is gonna have she will have a character to play if Warren wins. She's got a character to play pretty solidly for fucking 48 years.
Did you see the SNL cold open this week?
No, I know it was like Meet the Press or something.
Yeah, they had Chuck Todd, and he was interviewing, somebody as Chuck Todd. But, they had their version of Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my God.
which was Kate McKinnon again.
Oh, right. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think her Jeff Sessions is fucking solid.
Yeah. Oh, and Susan Collins, what is her name? Who does Susan Collins? She's really funny.
Isn't she the same woman who does AOC?
Might have been.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, it was a really funny sketch. She's like, I'm going to write a very strongly worded email and send that right off to my draft folder.
That's absolutely. Yeah. Well, sounds like her. Sounds like Susan Collins to me. All right, let's talk about the crushing of the fourth estate. White House imposes new rules on reporters' credentials, raising concerns about access. So the White House press corps got the shit kicked out of them this week when the White House decided to implement new rules that would cut down on the number of journalists who had, quote, hard passes. These are hard passes are basically credentials that allow you to come and go in the White House for up to 2 years. Basically, these are given to journalists. So you don't have to like, hey, can I come in on Tuesday? Hey, can I come in on Wednesday? Hey, can I come in 6 months from now? Like, you have this pass and like, you're just allowed to come in. It's like your work ID. You got to get it renewed every 2 years.
By the way, it's Cicely Strong, who is as Susan Collins.
Oh, okay. So the new policy announced by White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, or at least she commented on it. She says that no one's access is limited. Nothing has changed. This is because of the growing, security concerns from the Secret Service, and they wanted this and blah blah blah, which is I would argue a lie. This is not true. I don't know that, but I'm speculating only because this seems to come at a time where, if you remember, they revoked Jim Acosta's press pass, And then the court said, no, you can't do that because you don't have a, like hard and fast rules as to what will get your pass taken. And it seemed like you just took it because he got into it with Trump, which is exactly why they took it. And so because of that, when the court said that, like, you need to have procedures and you need to have like distinct rules as to why someone would lose their press pass. They came out and they were like, aha, we wrote this draconian bullshit. So this is what we're going to do. So you have to, in the last 90 days or 180 days, I think it is, maybe it's even 90. You have to have been at the White House half of that time, which is hilarious because the president isn't even there that many times in like the last 90 days. Because Dana Milbank, from the Washington Post, he got his revoked. He was like, yo, I had 2 foot surgeries and then they just revoked mine. Like, yeah, I couldn't fucking be there. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So it says, you have to be in the building at least 90 out of the last 180 days. In other words, 7 of every 10 work days. The White House wouldn't provide numbers, but it appears most of the White House press corps didn't qualify for credentials under that new standard, including regulars from the Post and the Associated Press. And then Dana Milbank makes this kind of side comment. Trump, who has spent more than 200 days at Trump properties and many more on travel, is barely in the White House this much himself. So if you're covering the White House and the president probably almost more often than not, if he's not there 90 days out of 180 days, how the fuck are you supposed to be there then? That doesn't make any sense. And a lot of them just work from home because they don't have press briefings anymore. Like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders went 59 days without a press briefing. So why am I at the White House? What is the point? I could just work from home or work at my office at the Washington Post or New York Times. So this is really just a bullshit excuse to cut down press access, is all this is. To keep, you know, they've made exceptions for senior journalists and other people, but it's basically they're going to give it to all the goblins on the right wing and then just shit on everyone else. So this is a problem. This is actually a really, really huge problem.
Yes. Hypothetically, if they actually did press briefings anymore.
Yeah.
But they don't, so, you know.
Yeah, no big deal, guys. No big deal. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Dana Milbank, his op-ed about it was pretty stunning. But they also, I linked that and also the General Washington Post article about it. I mean, what's interesting is like the White House Correspondents Association, which represents journalists on access issues, was consulted about the new policy, according to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. However, when they got a hold of the organization's president, Oliver Knox, he declined to comment. So did they actually like, and where the fuck is the White House Correspondents Association? What are you doing? You're getting unprecedentedly blocked from getting access to the White House. Where are you on any of this shit? They seem to just be like, I guess. Like, I mean, I hate to say this because I don't necessarily need it to be done, but maybe this should be like a law. You know what I mean? Like, you are like, you can't go more than 2 weeks without a press briefing, or 1 week, I would argue. Like, there should be some sort of hard, fast rule that they will conduct at least an hour-long press briefing where they will take at least 30 minutes of questions. I don't know. Like, I guess to me, it just feels like you can just completely do a move like an authoritarian and just decide, fuck it, I'm just not going to answer questions at all. And that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another one of those things that was just a norm that was never enshrined in law because no one ever assumed that they would just go, no, no, we don't want it. We don't want to.
Yeah.
And fucking, yeah. Remember when Fox News is being assholes and the Obama White House is like, well, we don't really need you here. You're not real journalists. And the press corps freaked the fuck out and got Fox News their credentials back.
Yep.
Like, they all teamed up. We're like, well, no, we're not. No, we're all teaming up. And you can't take one of us down, even if it's Fox News. Where is that unity now?
Yeah, I just, this is the problem. Why do you stand up for organizations and then don't stand up for yourselves? Why? I don't understand it. Yo, if you're going to stand up for Fox News, why aren't you standing up for Dana Milbank? Dana Milbank has been there for like 20 years. Like, competitive news, as far as money is concerned, might be one of the most detrimental things to a democracy. Like, it's one thing, ABC, CBS, NBC. Okay, whatever, they're the big three. But when you have, like, huge multi-million dollar business, billion dollar businesses in Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, Bloomberg, all these, they don't give a shit about really super standing up for each other because they're in direct competition. But I never understood why you help Fox. I'd be like, oh, they got their pastor vote? Next question, who gives a shit? They're not a news organization. They really aren't, by the way. They really aren't. But I think they should be allowed to be there because it's, we don't have any rules as if they can't be. But if they can be there, then we should be there, right? The Look Forward political team, it'll just be Andy and I. We'll just get up there and ask questions whenever they do press briefings, which is once a year, I think.
No, if we had actually got a press pass, we'd send Brad, right?
Probably. I would go once, I would get in trouble, and then we would send Brad.
he seems like he would actually fit in there.
Definitely. Fucking Brad.
For one, unlike you and me, he sounds like a news guy.
Yeah, no, he does. 100%. We sound like the people who come on your little television in the classroom in middle school. Hey, everybody.
We got pizza pockets for lunch today, so that's exciting.
It's going to be awesome. Pizza, yes. Pizza. No, we send Brad. You definitely, you got to put your best foot forward, and then we can send, like, Brad, ask these fucked up questions. Come on, bro. Ask Mick Mulvaney, why does he look like a small child wearing an adult suit? Like, ask him.
Mr. Mulvaney, why do you look like a ventriloquist doll that sprung to life and escaped, ran away on a murder spree? Mulvaney, Mr. Mulvaney, please answer the question, Mr. Mulvaney.
Follow-up question, what the fuck is your problem? I think that's the way to go.
On the whole network, I think Brad is the one that actually sounds like, in voice only, not in the things that he says, but
the things he says sounds like he could.
Right, but that actually sounds like he could be a professional broadcaster.
Yeah, no, he does. He does. Now, Brad is, Brad's top-level middle management. He's the best of the best. He's the best of us.
For sure. He's got that regionless dialect. Too. Ugh,
disgusting.
Like, you can't tell where he's from.
Yeah. Where are you from, Brad? America.
Which is weird for a working class white guy from Baltimore, because that is a very specific accent.
Well, and he lives very much adjacent to that, the people who have that accent. Like, Brad should be like, like down the ocean, hon. Like, that's what Brad should sound like. It's fucking weird.
Welcome to Dense Pixels. Go out.
Yeah, that's, by the way, Brad is affecting your voice on all of the shows. That's what he actually sounds like.
As soon as the mics turn off. All right, fellas.
Come on. He's always going down the ocean. It's weird. He's always there.
From Baltimore.
B-A-L or B-A-W-L-E-D-M-O-R-E. That is Brad's thing. Yeah. So little, a lot of people don't know that, but that is absolutely Brad's voice. It's a fact.
They ever going to improve the goddamn Ravens offensive line? I'm tired of losing to the Steelers.
It's so funny because the white Baltimore accent could not be any different than the black working class Baltimore accent, which is like,
and those two accents are from like two blocks away from each other. And for some reason you sound like completely different fucking planets.
Yeah. Yo, is that your Doug? Is that your Doug? Is that my Doug? What's a Doug? Oh, my dog. D-O-G. Got it. No. Get away from me.
Sure. Yeah. It's a dachshund.
Oh my God. We're going to have Brad and Micah have a fucking Baltimore voice off. The two extremes. I wouldn't have let Brad on the network if his voice really sounded like that. I'd be like, I don't want people to think we're stupid. I'm sorry. like a strong Baltimore working class white accent. Ooh boy, it is rough. It is rough. They know where the best place to get crab cakes, though. I'll tell you that. That is a guaranteed goddamn tea.
The thicker the local dialect, the better the food that they know about. And that applies across the board anywhere in the country.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. It's a big fact.
You find someone who sounds like the stereotypical version of the place that you're in, and you're like, you know where the food is.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Yeah, if you go to Chicago and a guy's voice literally sounds like a deep dish pizza talking, yeah, that's the guy. That's who you want.
Sounds like one of the DaBears guys from the old Saturday Night Live sketches. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Chicago there. You're like, oh, okay, you, where is the pizza?
So where's
not
the best
the
place to get a hot dog?
Bullshit. You tell me where you get the pizza.
Yeah. You just tell me. All right.
How many heart attacks is that for you there? Oh, that makes it a baker's dozen.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about Trump's tax returns. It's kind of a big story, right? Like, not a big deal. House Democrats subpoenaed Trump's tax returns. I don't like that title of that article. I would say the House subpoenaed Trump's tax returns, because that's how that works. They run the House. They are in charge. And so I think little things like that truly do matter, but it's a semantics thing, but I think it does matter. So the House subpoenas Trump's tax returns.
Was Richard Neal going, hey, give it to me because that's the law. And they went, no. And so now it's an official subpoena and they're saying no again. So you have to, of course, lock Steve Mnuchin up.
Yes. Throw him directly in jail. Now, I heard conflicting information that because the Senate does not really have a police force. I know people are like, well, they have the Capitol Police. I'm not sure that they really qualify that they could actually lock people up. And I've heard conflicting information, so I'm not honestly sure.
If you hold someone in contempt, can't you like grab the sergeant at arms and
I don't know.
Them hold them somewhere?
I don't know. There's not a jail.
Yeah, no, there was that story that Maddow told from, you know, like literally 100 years ago where they held some cabinet official in contempt and they detained him like in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Because they don't actually have a holding cell.
Well, maybe that's what they can do. They can do it like Saudi Arabia style. Just like put them at the Hilton.
Sure. Yeah.
Just murder them. So the House issues a subpoena on Friday.
Yeah. The main issue is because they can issue arrest warrants, but that's got to go through the Justice Department, which is led by a cuck.
Yeah.
So, but again, I would issue arrest warrants. Just put them out there.
Yeah. I mean, look, I like the idea of the fines. I think they talked about Adam Schiff, I think, talked about hitting people with fines for like $25,000 a day, which is pretty fucking brutal. I was like, that sounds great.
Use every lever you have. Use them all.
Yeah. I like that.
Even if you know they're not going to do anything, issue the arrest warrant. Because somebody can pick that up later. You don't want an arrest warrant out on your name, right? That you're just walking around with?
Nah, that's not really, I mean, as a black man, nah, that's not really a thing I'm into. I'm good. I'm good, actually.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, sure.
Start writing them now.
Yeah. I just, like, the idea of throwing people in jail for this feels really good to me. I'm really okay with it. So yeah,
you have a room somewhere, right? That you can. I mean, it's not going to be a jail, but you can, like, detaining you. You know, well, yeah, we're detaining you in this whatever
fancy
this
hotel
holding pin. This holding pin we made out of an office. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, you can give them nice food. Give them hamburgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just keep feeding them the same garbage Trump gets. Like, yeah, you're getting a burger again. You're getting this overcooked steak. Enjoy it.
This is the breakfast of champions. Cold hamburgers.
Like, oh, I'll do anything you want, please. I don't want Godfather's pizza again. that's what you're getting. So they subpoenaed the tax returns. And they also subpoenaed Steve Mnuchin and IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig as well, because they want the 6 years of Trump's tax returns. Now, what is interesting is Mnuchin's response to this, right? When Richard Neal was like, look, you know, the rule says you shall furnish them digits to me. Give me them tax returns, because that's what the rule says. Doesn't say whether I have legal reason or not. It's just the rule. I want them. I get them. Right? That's it.
The law Mnuchin says, give makes it to a, me, a false and you got to give it to me.
Yeah.
That's the law.
Yeah. The law says this. Steve Mnuchin says, well, it's not for any, I'm going by what the Justice Department says. And they say, because it's not there's no legislative reason why you would need this, we don't have to give it up. But again, that's not what the law says. And like, there are many reasons, or there are many instances of people in Congress doing oversight and requesting things of people because they can. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or the ugly. If the law says that they can request this and get it, then they can request it and get it. It doesn't really matter. Now,
see Republican held House 2011 to 2017.
Oh, with Hillary.
Did Hillary, Obama, everything. From the second they took power in the House, they're just, subpoena everything! We will find a scandal!
Yeah.
We'll make one up if we have to.
And we will. Fast and Furious! Wasn't that created by George W.? Fast and Furious! Stop asking questions. He did it. He came up with it. No, but he didn't. Well, we're going to say he did. That's my favorite Obama scandal. The Fast and Furious thing didn't work. Okay. Like, I didn't come up with it. Yeah, but like, it wasn't my policy. It was a Republican's policy. The guy right before, you remember him back then? Yeah, but it didn't go perfect this time, so now we're going to pretend like it started with you. Okay. That fizzled. No one cares. So they subpoena the tax returns, they subpoena Mnuchin and Rettig. Here's the thing. The law says that you, quote, and I'm making this point because this goes back to what we talked about earlier. It says that they shall furnish these tax returns, right? Shall. What's interesting that's happening now is there is this move now to challenge the word shall, saying that they're not sure that they're being demanded by the law, right? Maybe it's like, shall I do A or shall I do B? I don't know. It's wishy-washy. I don't have to do it. But that's not what the word shall means.
No, shall is not wishy-washy at all. Right. You shall do this is pretty fucking direct.
Well, I mean, so
that's how they wrote. That's how they wrote the Bible.
Right. That exactly.
Thou shall have no other gods before me.
Right.
Are you looking at that like, well, I don't know, man. maybe I could have gods
How about
him.
This?
I don't know.
How about
it's
this?
Pretty,
thou shalt not kill.
I could go either way on that one. It's not, I mean, shall. It's such a, who can tell, really?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. So this is one of the feet that they're standing on. And this goes back to the argument that I was saying about when we're talking about Roberts in reference to, like, do you throw out that, do you see yourself, do you see down the road 5 minutes, 10 minutes down the road, right? Because if you were to say shall does not mean a definitive thing, it means wishy-washy. Well, let me read you something. I don't know if you've heard of this before. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Because if you want to play the game that shall doesn't mean a definitive, okay, we can play with it. Because shall not be infringed, does it? I mean, maybe. I don't know what it means. I'm confused. Yeah,
if you want to pretend that shall means should.
Okay. Okay. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It's not an option, man. And I, like, yeah. And look, that's not my discovery. I will happily say that's not my discovery. I was reading something online, and people were just like, they do realize, right? Like, you know, the anti-gun lobby will fucking wreck their assholes if they do this. They will come after you so hard and fast.
They're hanging their entire ideology on that one word right there. You don't want to fuck with shall.
Yeah, you're gonna need that one, dude. And by the way, let's watch the dominoes fall here. If you said that shall is not a directive, it is not definitive in that you must do this thing or you must not do this thing, right? As in shall not be infringed. If you say no, shall means whatever you want to do, man. Okay. It's not right or wrong. Okay. If you want to take that one, Second Amendment, dusted, gone, right? Thanos came in, snapped, that shit is gone. Every gun advocate group or anti-gun advocate group is just going to go dropping elbows all day long on the Second Amendment and try to break it and destroy it. And they would probably be legislatively successful.
They already kind of pretend the first half of it doesn't exist.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah.
Well-regulated militia. Well, I mean, that's me and my buddy Jethro. Like, we're together. we are not going to get infringed together.
That was an argument I had with somebody. They're like, look, you can't have gun regulations. It's against the Constitution. I'm like, the second and third word are well and regulated. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a regulation. Regulated is there. It's even in that Warren G song. So you would kill the Second Amendment, but you would also kill something else that, no pun intended, you would also kill something else that's rather important. While you guys are pushing all of this idea of like, well, if my Christian values say this thing, then I don't have to do I don't have to follow the law. I don't have to follow the ACA if it offends my Christian sensibilities. What if I'm a Christian and I'm a murderer? And I say, well, I wasn't going by the laws of man. I was going by the Bible. And as we all know, thou shall not kill. Shall is not really a directive. It's more of a maybe I can, maybe I can't. You ready to throw that all into the legal world? That all these people in jail who've murdered people, you know, like they start bringing up cases and flooding the system, because then you're going to have to figure out, when does the religious law matter and not matter in other things? When does shall mean absolutely and not absolutely in these cases? You're not ready to, you don't hang your head on this. This is a bad move. Also, we all know how the English language works, and shall means a directive. You do this thing or you do not do this thing. Shall matters in context specifically. It matters in what comes directly after it.
Everyone understands that.
Also, by the way, if you do this, if you dare to do this, and you lean on shall as the word that makes or breaks this law, you upend all legal precedent, all of it, because shall is through all of it. What the fuck? What happens to the Constitution? It gets destroyed. It's destroyed because you're, again, Republicans, Are you willing to hang the entire sentiment of democracy and fucking law on protecting this guy's tax returns? I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, throw this guy to the wolves. Who gives a shit? We need the Second Amendment. Like, you're crazy. Like, this is a crazy argument. But they're trying it. They think this is going to work.
Okay.
I would love for them to do it. I would love it. Because that Second Amendment is gone. They're going to fucking destroy it, dude. They're going to destroy it. Yeah. Shall. Maybe shall is not. Maybe that's not what that means. All right. Did any of you go to law school? Any of you?
Did any of you go to first grade English?
Well, one could make the argument that maybe they did. But, yeah, I'm just, look, I'll just read from dictionary.com. Shall, expressing a strong assertion or intention, expressing an instruction or command, you shall not steal. The only time it's an option is used in a question indicating offers or suggestions. Shall I send you a book? And the shall implies a question, which is yes or no. That is not what this law says. It is not shall I send you my tax returns or shan't I not send you my tax returns? That's not what it says. It's not what it says. You shall do something, period. So go ahead and hang your...
You shall not pass.
Right. He wasn't saying, like, I mean, if you want to, like, go ahead.
Well, whatever you want, Balrog, it's your call.
I don't want to get in your way. So that's really hilarious. I just found that to be very, very funny. So
got to pretend that words don't mean things anymore.
Yeah, this is where we are. Also, so New York State is getting in on this whole thing. They decided that they are going to vote to release Trump's tax returns, his state tax returns. So what they did on Wednesday, the New York State Senate passed a bill 39-21 that allows the commissioner of the New York Department of Taxation and Finance to release any state tax return requested by the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, or the Joint Committee on Taxation for any specified or legitimate legislative purpose. Given that it's the president's home state and the headquarters of the Trump Organization, the Times notes that the tax returns from New York would, quote, contain much of the same financial information as the federal return. Thoughts?
This is fantastic.
yeah. It is. Thank you, New York, for doing the right thing. And to that, I would simply say, there you go. you have no idea how hard it is just to find that song just because of fucking Tidal and Spotify and all their bullshit. God damn it, Jay-Z. Anyway, it's good for New York. I think this is a good thing. I like that they're specifically writing a law just to fuck over Donald Trump. That feels pretty good.
Yes.
Look, you made this monster. Now you deal with it. And they seem to be, which is great.
Don't do your crimes in blue states.
Yeah, that's kind of a lesson. That's the lesson.
We've said it. How many times have we said it?
Yeah.
Go fuck around in Alabama.
Dude, no, they don't give a fuck. They're going to let you do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Not New York. The second they find it, like, oh, you're trying to be a piece of shit somewhere else. Nah, we're going to fuck that up for you. Like, yeah. So New York coming through, man. That's great. The head of the Republican minority was like, no, this is wrong and this is wasting New Yorkers' time. And like, one of their senators, Brad Holman, was like, no, it isn't. Like, we're good. Nah, we're going to get back to New York business, but we're going to get back to America's business. Like, this is what we're doing first, which is dope. They're also, the state senate is also expected to pass a second bill that would eliminate double jeopardy loophole, which gives people who have received federal pardon indemnity from being tried by New York prosecutors on similar charges, the passage of which would likely be terrifying to Trump's ally or array of toadies, as this article says. Yeah, so New York is New York is in it to fuck the president. Yeah, no, that's a yeah. solid title. Yeah, so shout out to New York for that. That's really great.
Yeah, like you said, you made this. It's your job to kill it.
Yeah, look, 100%, 100%. It is absolutely your job to kill this. Let's talk about one Joseph R. Biden Jr. Old Diamond Joe is trying to do the middle ground. Did you read this article from Reuters about him trying to thread the middle on climate change?
I saw a reaction to it. I haven't read the whole thing.
So basically, like, he's putting a former oil person on his like board of people to look at climate change, which is hilarious because as I was seeing this story, I just watched an episode of Veep. It was like the second episode where that's exactly what she was trying to do. It's like, we need a climate change board, but let's put an oil executive on, but don't tell liberals. And then both liberals and conservatives both hated it. So it's like, you can't win on shit like this. There is no middle ground. I mean, Bernie Sanders correctly came out and said there is no middle ground on climate change. And he's right. Right. And I mean, he's obviously not the only person saying this, but he's certainly one of the louder voices. And like, come on, dude, like there are times to compromise and work together and see if we can come up with a better way, in the words of
sure.
Paul Ryan, or the third way.
We talked last week. We support the compromised healthcare position.
Right. But not on climate change.
As much as that sucks.
Yeah. But you're not going to get anything otherwise. But at this point, like, no, dude, like you literally cannot, you can't do this, like this half measure shit. Like it does not work. So, yeah. So he thinks he's trying to be slick here. He's trying to basically put us back into the Paris Climate Accords, as well as, kind of roll back to all the things Obama had done. But the problem is that's not going to do anything. Like it's going to, yeah, sure. It's going to make things, better overall than where we are, but we need drastic change. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Biden has actually gotten some people like some of Obama's like former, like head of the EPA and things like that to, you know, buy into this stuff as well. Cause they're basically saying, look, the Green New Deal says it will be off, carbon neutral, by 2030. And they're saying, well, that's impossible. I tend to probably agree with that considering we're the number one, producers of, oil at this point. But the problem is that should be the goal. Okay. Like we can't hit that by 2030, but we should damn sure be trying to hit it. If you try to hit anything less, then you're going to do even worse. So I don't really understand the argument of not trying. So I'd rather us super try and fail than to try something lower and make it. Like that's like we're going to do better if we actually try. So just fucking go for it. So
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Joe Biden is doing.
I don't think Joe Biden knows what Joe Biden is doing.
Yeah. What was his answer the other day about Medicare for all?
Oh, well, no. Don't worry. We have the clip. Yeah, we have the clip. But it's that whole idea of him. He's still living in the Obama era. Dude, the Obama era, which was a great one, is that era is dead. And we need, like, I hate to say it, but we have to be a little bit more extreme. Like we just do, because the idea of working together has almost certainly died. And I don't think it comes back until you get money out of politics, to be honest. And this is an existential threat. Like it just is.
The majority of the Obama era was putting out a fire
Yeah.
That's his biggest accomplishment, is putting out the fire. And, you know, we made little gains here and there on other stuff. They did get the economy moving in the right direction. They did improve healthcare, things like that. But we can't just be firemen.
Yeah.
People need some actual tangible life improvement.
Yeah, we have to lead. And until we do that, like, you're never gonna cement the idea that liberals can handle moving this country forward.
While saying that, I also recognize that seemingly the Democrats or liberals in general are always cleaning up the mess, because every time the Republicans get in, they fuck it up so bad.
Yeah, but like, Biden's selling nostalgia for like 2016.
Right.
Let's make America like go back like just a couple years. Like,
make America great again. When was that? Literally like 3 years ago, guys. It's pretty good.
But yeah, like, the biggest complaint that you hear on the left of Obama is he didn't do enough.
Right.
Which I would argue there was things preventing him.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more complicated. But I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, as we talked about, coming in still believing in, you know, the Republican Party acting in good faith was, it, you know, is hopeful, but kind of naive. But even people who like had the lowest opinion of Republicans probably did not foresee how bad they would get.
Right. Probably not.
Right. Cause they were just the party of George W. Bush, like right before that. And so, you know, yeah, Obama came in assuming that was the same guys, but it was not the same guys.
It really wasn't.
Yeah, after you got that, you know, especially after you got the Tea Party wave. But yeah,
they fucking lost their minds. Woo! Obama! And then they went fucking nuts. Well, they were hopped up on goofballs, that is racism and new victories, and they just went the fuck in.
Yeah, and they haven't come down yet.
No,
they got all hopped up on schism, and they're
the old schism. God love it.
Can't kick the habit.
It's so good. It feels so good. I get to call this guy the N-word? No? Damn it. All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's bonkers, man. It really is bonkers. So speaking of, before Andy spoiled that sweet, delicious clip.
Sorry.
Of Joe Biden really just putting his foot directly into his own mouth.
I don't know that it was, because I don't know what this means.
Oh, I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means, but I'm going to play it first.
Fine.
Yeah.
You help me, because I don't get it.
That's because you're stupid. All right, here we go. Joe Biden, listen to a man for 30 seconds put his entire foot in his Delaware mouth.
What do you say to calls for some sort of universal health care or something like Medicare for All from some of the other people running the Democratic primary?
I think they're well-intended. I think they mean it, but here's the deal. Right now, you have this overwhelming number of employers who are paying into the health care plan. Why let them off the hook? All of a sudden, they don't have to pay anything? What happens then to this whole thing about profit and the rest? I mean, it should be part of the compensation if you have it.
All right. Very, very obvious what he's saying. I don't know what the fuck Medicare for All is. and I don't give a shit. Fuck out of here. We already fixed Medicare. We already fixed medical insurance. Can we just go back to that? Because I really don't feel like having that fight again. That's all that was. What about the employers? He's going to let them off the hook? Yeah. Yeah. I think employers would be okay with that. They don't like paying insurance. It sucks, and it's really expensive. Are you serious?
No, I'm pretty sure the employers are still going to have to pay via taxes, Joe.
No.
No, it just lets them completely off the hook, huh?
No, they don't pay anything. It's all free. It's free. No, employers love having to deal with healthcare. It's awesome. They love it.
No, but they would be paying in a different system.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. But they don't. But I mean, what I'm saying is, like this, his argument doesn't make any sense because it's not like he's like, oh, well, they're gonna get off on this. Like, it's not like they, like you're not punishing them, or excuse me, you're not relieving them. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's the, you know what it is? It's the...
Joe Biden's old.
It's the vermin supreme argument.
A pony in every household?
Yeah, where he had said, a free pony for every American. And they said, isn't that going to cost a lot of money? And he says, no, they're free ponies.
It's a we'll have a pony economy. Isn't that going to cost a lot of money? No, they're free. God damn it. It's like, I don't know if you saw, I have a fucking boot on my head, right? This is what we're doing. I'm not being serious. It's a pony economy.
One of the four planks of his election is time travel.
I mean, in fairness, it can fix a lot. I would be willing to invest in time travel if we could go back and change 2016. I would 100%. What do you mean, $1 trillion? Done. Done. Yeah, you can raise my taxes.
He's going to send him, I think, the four plan. If I remember correctly, he's going to run for president again because he's running for president every election since like 1980 or something. But I believe, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the four planks of Vermin Supreme's campaign are he's going to send himself back in time to kill baby Hitler.
Okay.
They're going to harness zombies on giant hamster wheels for power.
Okay.
Mandatory teeth brushing. And yes. Every American gets a free pony.
I actually stand with all four of those. 100%. Yeah. It's like Satanism. Like when you actually look into it, it's completely reasonable.
Right. Yeah. The guy with the boot on his head, he's a little, you know,
still out there.
Against the grain there. But I mean, I don't disagree with any of those.
Yeah. No, it seems fine. Yeah. No.
Two of them are based on science fiction, but. I mean, they're not bad ideas if you could pull it off.
A pony economy isn't based on science fiction. Stop being unreasonable. Now let's get these hamster wheels. Let's get these hamster wheels going. Let's get real. Yeah, look, Joe Biden doesn't support your goddamn Medicare for all. You bunch of lazy libs. That's going to hurt him. That's no, going to hurt him.
Because he gets a lot of money from pharmaceutical companies and the health insurance lobby because he's a 90s Democrat.
Is Joe Biden not taking PAC money?
He's taking all the PAC money.
He's like, all these other fucking idiots aren't taking PAC money. I'll take all the PAC money. Give it to me. Which PAC money haven't I already acquired?
You morons aren't taking free money? Fuck yeah, I'll take it.
How do you even get elected? Jesus Christ.
What kind of plan is that? He's not going to take the money? It's right there.
Who are you going to call? Your friend BOC? What are you talking about? Get the money. PAC. Yeah, look, Joe, again, hey, Donald Trump, relax. Joe Biden ain't going to be it, dude. He's not going to be the guy, dude. He's not going to be the guy. He's not.
You don't think so? You don't think he's got a great chance?
No, I don't. I don't. I think the second people see Joe Biden, look what's already happening. Do you realize what this weekend is? Not only is it the third week Avengers Endgame has been out, which is a big deal. This is the first week Joe Biden has hit the Sunday shows and shit. Already people are like, nah, fuck this guy. This guy has to build a wall back a couple of years ago. Let's destroy it. Like already, dude, they're coming for you, Joe. Better be ready, Dom and Joe. I don't think you are. Like, I don't think you are in 2019. I don't think you're ready for this. They're going to fuck you up for the next couple of weeks. Just pay attention to the narratives that are going to come out about Joe Biden. And like, oh, his son working in the Ukrainian oligarch. That ain't the shit I'm talking about. Who cares? That's not going to be it. Watch all the shit they pull up about Joe Biden that he said fucking 10, 15 years ago. All the shit that sounds super right wing now. They're going to light your ass up over it. He thought that building a wall or a fence was a good idea. Does it matter that there's a fence there already? No. Does it matter that, you know, Democrats have supported that fencing and stuff? No, it doesn't. But Joe Biden's going to say it, and they're going to fuck Joe Biden up over it. Doesn't matter. Yeah, reality doesn't matter. It only matters that they can beat you up about it right now. You should not have run. The second they came out about you touching on those women's shoulders, that should have told you to stay your happy ass back on Rehoboth Beach. But since you didn't, they're going to make you pay for it. And I'm here to watch it. I'm here to watch it. Now, look, that being said, if he wins nomination, I'll happily vote for you, Joe. I really will. But you ain't getting my vote right now, buddy. No, 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 no.
No.
And even close
no,
to
not
happen.
A chance.
No, fuck no, that. Not a chance. But this shit is going to be hilarious. This is going to be hilarious. Good luck. Good luck. So, yeah, good luck, Joseph. Next up, Trump administration working overtime to amp up aggression with Iran. I highly recommend people read this article. I truly, truly do. The Times did a really good job on it. There's a lot of people working on this. David Sanger, who's always good. Edward Wong, Stephen Arling, and Eric Schmidt. And Eric Schmidt's always good, too. Basically, the idea here is that I agree with Iran, which is nuts. Iran is playing this absolutely correct. And that says a lot. So basically, the 2015 nuclear deal that the Obama administration spearheaded, along with Europe and China and Russia, you know, Trump pulled out of it and he was like, I'm done with this because Obama did it. And I don't like that because that makes my tiny little penis feel smaller. And so he was like, the Iranians aren't following this. So we're pulling out. Here's the thing. The Iranians were following it. And we know this because they're still following it, according to inspectors, including ones in China, Russia, and across Europe who are privy to this information. Now, President Hassan Rouhani, who is the president of Iran, he's like, look, let me tell y'all something. We're going to keep doing this shit. But the problem is, when we signed up for this agreement, we weren't going to get, we would have to export like all of our nuclear material, except for stuff like for a nuclear power plant. I think like 90% or something they would have to toss out. They would have to export so that they couldn't make enough material for a bomb. 97% of their nuclear fuel leaves the country, right? So that other 3% they can use for, you know, general nuclear power. So for that, I mean, the agreement, it has a lot of details, but basically you don't get enough uranium and plutonium to enrich to make a weapon. But you still get to, you know, make some nuclear power, right? And in exchange for that, what we're going to do is we're going to lift crippling sanctions that have absolutely wrecked your economy, right, across the world. So now Trump has left the deal because he made up something just because he didn't like that Obama did this. And they've instituted sanctions on Iran. Now, Iran was supposed to have, they've still been following the deal by sort of back channeling to Europe and to China and to Russia. And what was supposed to happen is, even though America was out of the deal, they were supposed to still get plenty of their exports and everything and imports from around the world so that they could still have a functioning economy. But America is such a fucking brutal entity on the world stage that their country is still suffering just because America refuses to like work with trade, you know, do trades with them and things like that, which is what they had agreed to do. So Iran is like, look, we're following the accords and we're still getting fucked over in our economy. And you guys aren't doing enough to make sure that we're getting out what we said we were, what we agreed that we were going to get out of this whole thing. So you have 60 days to run us our money. And if you don't, then we are going to go back on the accords and go back to doing what we were doing, which is not exporting 97% of our nuclear material and doing all this other shit, which is the reason why we were here in the first place. So what they're basically doing is, and this is the part where I actually agree with Iran, they're playing both sides against the middle. The U.S. is like, they're not following the rules. They're not following the rules. They are following the rules. But then they're going to Europe, China, and Russia and saying, if you don't fix this shit and give us what you owe us, we're going to go back to the other thing. So now they're making Europe, China, and Russia argue with the U.S. basically, openly, about how the U.S. is fucking this up and maybe end up causing a war. There are statements from Europe, the European countries, Britain and Germany specifically, and from China and Russia specifically, all saying the U.S. is fucking up, openly saying that. So, yeah, Rouhani is playing this right. Like, it's actually pretty, like, from a global perspective, it's pretty smart. However, I think Rouhani forgets that John Bolton is in the position he's in, and they will definitely bomb Iran if they have to. So that's the part that's fucked.
Yeah, he's been wanting a war with Iran since forever.
Yeah, since he was a small child. I just assume. This is fucked. Like, this is a fucked situation, and I have about a 4% chance in believing that we won't go to war with Iran.
No, he's trying to get a war going somewhere. He keeps fucking with Venezuela too. He's trying to figure out what his war is going
to
be.
I just don't, like, but, as a president, I don't know why you even want to.
It's not a good idea.
No, fuck no, it's not.
Especially when a decent percentage of your vote, of your voters voted for you because you presented yourself as anti-interventionalist.
Which
we all knew was bullshit.
Oh.
Except for Trump voters.
Yep. I really don't know why people believe that. I seriously just do not understand why people believe that.
Trump would be better than Hillary because she's a war hawk. Okay.
Yeah, all right, dude.
Like Trump is not trying to start every war he can.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to start a war with North Korea like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I think people forget that. Like, he absolutely wanted to go to war with North Korea, which would have been a disaster. Like, it would have been awful. By the way, not as bad as a war with Iran would be.
No.
Yeah, like, Iran is not Iraq, dude. Like, get that shit out of your head. That would be fucking nightmare.
One, Iran is not Iraq. Two, can't even beat Iraq. We're still doing that one.
Yep.
It wasn't exactly a pushover.
Nope.
It's gone through 3 presidential administrations. Seems like it's still going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I have a feeling that we are going to like we are going to end up going to war with them. And it's just going to be absolutely nuts. Like, hey, conservatives, I hope you like your sons without limbs, because that's what's going to happen. If we go to war with them, yo, 4,000 American troops dying in Iraq is nothing compared to a full on scale, like large scale war with Iran. Are you kidding me? dude, they have a fucking seriously active military. Iraq was just like nine dudes who were like, I don't really want to fight. Like, this is not my thing. Iran is a total different avenue, man. And guess what? There will be no war with Iran that we just stay safe over here watching TV as it happens. Fuck that. No, we will have bombings here. We will absolutely. No, we absolutely will. I mean, look, people, you know, people don't maybe don't realize this. Like, Iran might not have like an air force to our levels or whatever. They don't need one. The Revolutionary Guard does terrorism all over the world. If you don't think they'd set shit up to blow up here, you're crazy. You're crazy. Absolutely, they would. They do terrorism all over, successful terrorism all over the world. They will absolutely, if the Revolutionary Guard wants to get to the United States, they will. I don't want that. I don't think anybody else wants that. But there ain't no sitting back chilling. Oh, I'm just watching shock and awe on TV, like with the Iraq war. Nah, yo, it's shock and awe, man. What is happening outside? Like, that's what's going to happen. And people are going to die. Innocent people are going to die. And innocent people on our side are going to die. Which is somehow for Americans is the only innocent people who ever matter. So yeah, like, nah, this is a bad idea. And this ain't gonna last no fucking 5 minutes. Nope. This will last for a decade and it will be miserable. And you will hate everything about it. So no, this is bad. Don't do this. So good luck, dummies. God, John Bolton fucking sucks.
Yeah. What did a Persian girl dump him? Why is he so horny to go attack Iran?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks he can just get like all the hummus. All the hummus. I mean, you can just buy the Sabra in the store, dude. Just relax. just take it easy. Yeah, I just don't, I don't know, man. I really don't know what John Bolton's fucking problem is. Like, that guy's got a serious issue. Yeah, he needs a punch in the dick. Like, he does. Just right in his, right in, or a punch in that mustache. That would also work. Yeah, I would be fine with that. I think that's pretty much it this week. Any parting words?
Yeah, it's a real positive show.
That's right.
All of your basic human rights are going away, ladies.
You're welcome.
The president continues to defy the law, and we're probably going to war. So, I mean, see you guys next week, I guess. Fuck.
We'll try to make it more positive.
This one's a downer.
Sorry. I found the most positive stories I could.
Yeah, at least we got some Jacob Wool in there to lighten the day up a little.
Yeah, that's about it. Let's throw a 20-year-old in prison for the rest of his life. Bright spot! Yay! Good, fuck that guy. Burn in hell, Jacob.
Somebody get Buttigieg on the horn.
That's right. We
tell him we're tired of half-assed measures. We need big boy Democratic moves.
Come on, President. Come on, Mayor. Mayor Pete. Let's go to work. Fuck these guys up. All right.
Indeed.
All right. That is it for us, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.